The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
This happened because we had the leadership of the President of the United States as a visionary, as a strategist, and as a persuader.
Simply put, an executive order issued by the President is not worth the paper it is printed on. It is not the law of the land, and it can be rescinded in the blink of an eye by the jot of a president's pen.
I do believe that this is the one fundamental right that this country has been wrestling with now for almost 100 years. I consider this to be the Civil Rights Act of the 21st century.
Well, it's been a very eventful 24 hours or more. In fact, a year. The president and his party has been working on health care reform, and it finally came down, as some of us thought it probably would, finally came down to the issue of abortion. It wasn't about who paid for what or how it got paid for or any of those kinds of things. It came down to, ultimately, just a handful of pro-life Democrats who had been holding out in the House against this bill for reasons of conscience, for reasons of protecting the unborn, and all it took was six of them to change their minds, led by Congressman Bart Stupak, and health care reform becomes a reality. Of course, what it took for them to change their minds was the president signing an executive order saying there won't be any federal funding for abortion in health care reform. I want to know who compromised. Was it President Obama or the pro-life Democrats? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, March the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. I want your answer to that question during the first half hour of the program. Who compromised on the issue of abortion and health care reform? President Barack Obama by signing the executive order, or Congressman Bart Stupak and the five other pro-life Democrats who went on after the executive order and voted for the bill? Now, later in the show, we'll continue our series with Dr. Jean Edward Veith on Reformation theology. Today, we'll discuss the hiddenness of God. Our call-in number for your answer to that question, who compromised on abortion and health care reform, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Who compromised on health care and abortion? The pro-life Democrats? Many are saying, yes, it was a complete sellout. Or the president? The president's pro-choice supporters are saying he betrayed them. So who did the compromising to get health care through? 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Let's listen to some of yesterday's press conference with six pro-life Democrats who in the end voted for health care reform.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us here today. The reason why we wanted to wait, because it's important, because the agreement we've been able to reach, standing on our principle of protecting the sanctity of life and health care reform, could not have been done without the support of the colleagues with me today and our West Virginia colleagues, Mr. Rahal, Mr. Mollahan. So I'm pleased to announce that we have an agreement, and it's with the help of the President, the Speaker, we were able to come with an agreement to protect the sanctity of life and the health care reform, that there will be no public funding for abortion in this legislation. We've all stood on principle. It's a principle we've carried forward ever since June 25th when we first signed a letter to the Speaker saying, as we do health care reform, we do not want any public funding for abortion. We expect the current Hyde language to apply throughout this health care bill. We've always said, most of us at least, that we were for health care reform. We wanted to see health care reform. But there was a principle that meant more to us than anything, and that was the sanctity of life, that you have to continue with that moral principle of protecting those unborn children. So I've always supported health care reform. We demand that the current law be there, that the sacred promise be kept, and I'm pleased to say we have.
All right. Did Bart Stupak and five other pro-life Democrats compromise? Did they give it away? Did they sell out? Did they believe the president when he signed the executive order, promised to sign the executive order, and did so, well, inadvisedly? What do you think? Who compromised on abortion and health care reform? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. The president's pro-choice supporters are very unhappy with him. The president of NOW, National Organization of Women, Terry O'Neill, says, "I truly wish that the National Organization for Women could celebrate the historic passage of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. It pains me to have to stand against what many people see as a major achievement. The bill, says Terry O'Neill, contains a sweeping anti-abortion provision. The bill passed today ultimately achieves the same outcome as the infamous Stupak-Pitts Amendment, namely the likely elimination of all private as well as public insurance coverage for abortion. This burdensome, elaborate bill must be eliminated. It is there because Catholic bishops and extremist abortion rights opponents know that it will result in greatly restricted access to abortion care, currently one of the most common medical procedures for women. Fact," writes Terry O'Neill of the National Organization for Women, "President Obama made an 11th-hour agreement to issue an executive order lending weight, the weight of his office, to the anti-abortion measures included in the bill. This move was designed to appease a handful of anti-choice Democrats who have held up health care reform in an effort to restrict women's access to abortion. This executive order helps to cement the misconception," writes Terry O'Neill of the National Organization for Women, "that the Hyde Amendment is settled law rather than what it really is, an illegitimate tack onto an annual must-pass appropriations bill. It also sends the outrageous message that it is acceptable to negotiate health care reform on the backs of women." Not a happy response from Terry O'Neill of the National Organization for Women, from the Center for Reproductive Rights. This is a statement from Nancy Northrup, president. "The president's decision to issue an executive order designed to assuage Representative Stupak and his cohorts is a betrayal of millions of women across this country and of his campaign promises. The order lends credibility to an already impossibly flawed policy that punishes and discriminates against poor women by denying them the full range of reproductive health services and their constitutional right." Not happy at the Center for Reproductive Rights. They say the president betrayed women, the president compromised, the president sold out. My question to you, who compromised on abortion and health care reform? The president or the six pro-life Democrats? 1-877-623-MYIE. You can Twitter us here in the studio at IssuesETC. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's John in Liverpool, New York. John, thanks for waiting.
Hi. I don't think the president lost at all. I think Stupak gave in. The president can't arbitrarily, with an executive order, negate one section of a law when it's passed. It just can't be done. So Stupak, in effect, gave in, and abortion is going to be a part of the bill.
But if the president's executive order does, in fact, do what at least the president says it's going to do and keeps health care reform from providing federal funding for abortion,
Stupak gave in. He should have held his ground because the president's executive order cannot stop one section of a law.
Do you think he was hoodwinked, or do you think?
Yes, it's an empty promise because it's something that the president cannot live up to.
John, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in New York. What about the rest of you? Did the president compromise or did the pro-life Democrats compromise on abortion and health care reform? 1-877-623-MYIE. Twitter us at IssuesETC. Email us talkback@issuesetc.org. So, John says, Stupak and the other pro-life Democrats, the six that did vote for health care reform, were hoodwinked by an empty promise by the president. What do you think? Joe in Maumee, Ohio says, once in a lifetime, a God-given opportunity comes along to make an historic stand for right versus wrong. Congressman Stupak and his fellow pro-life Democrats were given that opportunity. Rather than making history, they made an expedient and shameful compromise, one which will go down as an historic blunder rather than being remembered among those events that represent true profiles in courage, to quote JFK. It's not about greatness, but their opportunity for true greatness is forever lost. This was a great tragedy, not unlike the 9/11 disaster, only many more innocent lives hang in the balance. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us @issuesetc. Here's Joyce in St. Louis. Joyce, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just talked to my husband, too, because I did not realize that he had signed the executive order. But I just talked to my husband to tell him that, and he said the same thing that the gentleman from New York said. He just said that the president's executive order can't override the law. So I don't know. I'm really, really, really sad about this all.
Thank you very much, Joyce. You know, it was an executive order issued on the part of George W. Bush that restricted federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, and it stayed in force for 8 years until it was overturned by another executive order by President Barack Obama, almost the first thing he did when he entered office. I mean, executive orders aren't nothing, are they? Do you think that pro-life Democrats were so foolish as to be taken in by, smoke and mirrors on the part of the president? That the president simply said, oh, I'll sign an executive order. It doesn't mean anything, but I'll sign an executive order. And they said, good, that's all we needed to hear. You think that's what happened? We'll be right back. More audio open lines after this.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
How are sinners declared righteous before a holy God? Where can we find the presence of God today? How can I discover God's will for my daily life? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Spirituality of the Cross. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Spirituality of the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Spirituality of the Cross by Dr. Gene Edward V.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. Issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Health bill that will move forward today is actually a bill about life.
This bill is about life. This truly is about preserving the sanctity of what we're all about here.
I also want to thank the President of the United States, who listened to us and helped us to
find a way through his executive order to make sure that this legislation is a whole life piece of legislation.
What we're doing today is certainly the most pro-life vote in my 34 years in Congress that I've seen.
I am proud to be a pro-life legislator, and I am proud today to cast a vote in favor of a strong pro-life bill, and it's about standing up for the unborn.
I want to compliment Bart Supak for his strong stance in favor of the unborn throughout this whole process.
Well, those are the other pro-life Democrats who signed on to health care reform along with Bart Supak, congratulating themselves and one another. Were they sold a bill of goods? Were they fooled by the president's executive order, or did they just compromise and sell out? Or was it the president who compromised? So far, our listeners say, well, the president basically gave up nothing. He made an empty promise and either fooled or had willing accomplices among the pro-life Democrats in agreeing to health care reform. But that doesn't explain why almost to a person, or to an agency, I should say, pro-choice groups think that the president sold out in signing that executive order and allowing health care reform to go through with what they think are draconian restrictions on abortion. They think the president compromised. So which was it? Who compromised? 1-877-623-6943. For those of you who say, well, the president had nothing to lose and he lost nothing, how do you explain the outrage from pro-choice, his supporters, pro-choice supporters of the president, saying, one of them saying, this is a betrayal of millions of women? That's the president of the Center for Reproductive Rights, Nancy Northrup. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Elaine in Naperville, Illinois says, I don't trust a single one of the characters involved. Clearly, President Obama will do whatever it takes to get the job done. Clearly, Stupak and his cohorts need to have their faces saved. I think that Obama has no problem speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Sooner or later, he will reassure his pro-infanticide friends that the executive order will be impossible to implement or otherwise ineffective or rescinded ASAP. And yes, it is all smoke and mirrors. Kyrie eleison, says Elaine in Naperville. Again, but how does that explain the outrage of the pro-choice supporters of the president calling him a betrayer of their cause? Steve is calling from St. Louis.
Hello.
What's your thoughts, Steve?
Well, I think many people are getting this confused with outlawing abortion. The bill was about health care, and abortion was taken out of it. I didn't think that it was a pro-abortion bill to begin with, but now that there has been this compromise, I don't know why people are still pretending like abortion is going to be happening.
So you don't think abortion had anything to do with it in the first place?
No, I don't think it was a pro-abortion bill. I mean, for example, the clinics that they were talking about funding ever performed abortions, and they had no intention to start performing abortions, although I guess technically you could have, that money could have gone to performing abortions, but
well, Steve, how does that explain the fact that the pro-life Democrats firmly believed that it had everything to do with abortion and federal funding for abortion, and that the president apparently was convinced enough to at least offer the signing of this executive order that had no other purpose than to at least ostensibly restrict federal funding for abortion?
Well, it was a compromise. I think that both sides should be happy with the compromise. It doesn't outlaw abortion. Abortion is still a fundamental constitutionally protected right. So it didn't outlaw that, and I think many people are confusing that with the bill. It's not in the bill, but it is still legal in America.
Steve, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Mike in Los Alamos, New Mexico says, I think it was more like, good, that's all we needed to hear. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MYIE. Twitter us at IssuesETC or email us talkback at issuesetc.org. Eric in Irving, Texas says both sides compromised. President Obama didn't want to limit funding for abortion, but he said that he would do it.
That is a compromise. Now the question becomes, who got something real and who got a promise alone? President Obama wrote an IOU on email, and in return, he got a real irrevocable vote in the House of Representatives for a bill that funds abortion. That makes Representative Bart Stupak the clear loser. And yet the president's executive order, which Bart Stupak at the – if I was watching this yesterday, he actually had a text of this near the end of the press conference. We'll hear more of that in a minute. And he said, I've been through it carefully, and it does everything the president says it's going to do. It's going to keep federal funding away from abortion. It was good enough for him. From Facebook, Frank in Illinois says, who compromised on health care, pro-life Democrats or President Obama? Both. And it's impossible to call it anything other than politics as usual. Someone had a mandate here to force something through Congress, no matter how good or bad it will be for America or for his constituents. He says, what will be interesting is what happens now. States are ready to file suit against the federal government. As I write this, will there be a challenge going back to states' rights? Well, I don't know. I don't understand the constitutionality of any of it. Who compromised? Well, Frank says both compromised. What do you think? Do you think that the president compromised? His pro-choice supporters certainly think they don't. They just don't think he compromised. They think he betrayed women and the abortion rights cause. Do you think that the pro-life Democrats compromised? Many do. I want to hear from you. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. 1-877-623-6943. Benjamin in Round Lake, Minnesota says, I agree with Frank. Both failed. And the real problem is partisan politics as usual. According to a columnist, Kathleen Parker, the majority of Americans, 44%, are independent in their political affiliation. Republicans and Democrats have failed in living up to the principles of their parties in the interest of getting more votes and really standing on nothing. Republicans say that they are fiscally conservative, but aren't. Democrats say that they are socially responsible, but aren't. Republicans really failed in playing partisan lines and really should have tried to work with the Democrats. They really didn't know and really didn't know it. Good thing I'm a member of the apathetic and frustrated party, says Benjamin around Lake, Minnesota. Gail in St. Charles, Missouri says, the question on who compromised on abortion seems to be elementary to me. The president is and always has been pro-death to the unborn, as he stated that he would not want one of his daughters to have to pay for a mistake. In other words, he would rather have a grandchild killed than a daughter to be inconvenienced. The pro-life Democrats are obviously not pro-life, or they would have held their stand. You are either pro-life or you are not, just as you cannot be a little bit pregnant. Oh, you're either pro-life or you're not. There was no compromise as I see it. There was a complete breakdown in morality on the part of those who caved for their personal gain. I mean, what the president gains is passage of this bill. What the pro-life Democrats gain is what? What do they gain? I mean, the Democratic Party has pretty much sworn political death to Bart Stupak in any event. His switching his vote is not going to win him back into their favor anytime soon. There are Democrats already planning to run against him. When we interviewed him several months ago, he said, make no mistake about it. But he changed his vote. What did he gain? So who compromised on health care and abortion? The pro-life Democrats or the president? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. Carla in St. Louis says, the question is there really such a thing as a pro-life Democrat? Well, Democrats for Life think that there is. There are Democrats, by the way, among those who voted against this. Of the 34 Democrats that voted against health care reform, I believe fully 9 they're pro-life. They have a 100% pro-life voting record with National Right to Life. Some of them have 80. Some of them have terrible records, but fully 9, a third of those Democrats that voted against health care reform have a 100% rating. And that's not easy to get, by the way. John McCain, who ran for president for the Republican Party, didn't have a 100% rating with National Right to Life. And yet 9 of these who voted against health care reform, pro-life Democrats, did have a 100% rating. So there clearly are at least some that are considered pro-life Democrats. Cindy's calling from her car. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Todd. I was just listening to the show, and I hadn't even thought until you mentioned that the pro-choice, pro-abortion people aren't happy with this either. And so if the pro-life people aren't happy and the pro-choice people aren't happy, I just wonder, if does the president really care, or is he just happy to get it passed? And I'm just kind of blown away by the whole thing.
Well, Cindy, our time is short here. Thank you very much. I think a lot of people are confused. What does the president think here? Look, the presidency is a practical position. It becomes the ultimate place where politics is the art of the possible is in play every single second of every day. You can campaign one way or the other, but when you get in there, you realize compromise is the name of the game. See, the real question here is, will these pro-life Democrats, who may or may not have compromised, will they come back and continue to vote for the unborn in each and every case? Will the president keep his word and keep federal funding away from abortion? Only time will tell. When we come back, Dr. Jean Edward Veith will join us. Part three of our six-part series on Reformation theology. Today, the hiddenness of God. Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Honoring Phyllis Schlafly.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In recent days, several pro-life and pro-family organizations have honored Eagle Forum President Phyllis Schlafly for her lifetime of service and achievement. Many of the battles we fight today in defense of the unborn, among other issues, would have been lost years ago had she not stood so firmly against the Equal Rights Amendment. Powers arrayed against her and other grassroots conservatives, including the media, the White House, and congressmen from both parties. Yet she never gave in and continued to rally opposition to the ERA. Just like Phyllis, we must never give in the fight for human life. Her courage continues to inspire.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.